el perro es mi corazón. El gato, el gato, el gato no es bueno. Cilantro es cantante, cilantro es muy famoso. Cilantro es el hombre con el queso del diablo.
Would it help to get into the show in a gentle way?
You got a gentle way?
A gentle, familiar way.
I was going to say, you might want to stir us into the positive direction here, because I've just been a cynic the past week.
You?
Yeah, I know, right? So off character for me. I'm usually such a ball of sunshine and rainbows and, I don't know, unicorn farts?
You really have been flanderized at this point on the podcast.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. I've been... No. Yeah. A little.
Hey, man. Empires are built on bits, right? The Romans, gladiatorial pits. We're going to flood an arena and have a ship battle. Yeah, being a miserable piece of shit is the best bit ever.
It's great. I'm drowning. What were you doing? You were going to... You're looking at all the random food that got left in this break room, is what I see.
Well, and I don't think this is very random, Rory. I've put together a pattern. We have here some three different assortments of granola, although this one appears to maybe be just sunflower seeds or pumpkin seeds.
I was going to say some kind of seeds. Oh, I hit my knee. Son of a bitch.
Can't be doing that.
Oh, man. That knee was already bruised.
Oh, I feel you. I've been doing that a lot lately. I've been hammering the same knee over and over.
I keep doing it in stupid ways. I turn a corner and just wrap it. Why?
I was holding a hammer and I was just trying to hang a picture on the wall. And the next thing I know, I just kind of paused and smashed my own knee with the hammer.
Oh, why? What are these? Aurora Natural. And then they just assume you know.
Yes. Yeah, the company is called Big Naturals.
Roasted and unsalted. These are roasted and unsalted. These are probably... Listen. Should I be putting my hands in someone else's food?
Yeah,
of course,
man.
Days of COVID. I'm going to eat these now.
Nice.
This reminds me of childhood.
The sunflower seeds?
Yeah.
I was never a big sunflower seed guy. I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Oh, man. I had a shit ton. My grandparents they had a lot of chickens. They just had a ton of sunflower seeds and random things that birds could peck at and open up and shit. So they had basically a garbage pails where an old time. It was just full of fucking sunflower seeds. You just crack them and sit there and just chuck them.
Warm today. Warm yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Just sit on the porch and eat sunflower seeds and not do shit.
Watch the world go by.
World was a simpler time. All those people are dead now. My world grows smaller.
Time is a flat circle.
Does it make anyone feel any better? We're doing that thing where we get everybody to turn their volume up a little bit. So then later we can get really animated and sad.
Just shriek into the microphone.
Ah!
So you're digging on the sunflower seeds.
I mean, again, they're no random porch in Orange, Vermont sunflower seeds, but they'll do.
They'll do.
I just got to put them away. I got to stop eating them. What do you got over there? Granola, you said.
Some light granola.
Oh, that was pretty good. The way you put the mic down into it really... Hold on. Can I do that with these?
Good.
We're forming a band.
I feel like... Can I get real with y'all?
Huh.
No, never mind. Phantom smell. I was like, this granola definitely smells like it's already been touched by someone who had saliva on their fingers.
The horror.
But I don't think so.
What?
I smell it and I think it's just vanilla. But we're about to find out here on Wildin' Out.
Oh, wow.
Can you hear the crunch right now?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm making other noises over here like an asshole.
No, that's good. It's a symphony. Okay, that was what it was. Big Naturals Organic Vanilla Crisp Granola.
Big Naturals Granola.
Big Naturals.
Nothing else comes to mind there. When I think of Big Naturals, I think of granola.
This next batch of granola is from Stepbro. What's happening?
And after that, we've got some Triscuits from Stuck in the Laundry Machine.
Holding a pumpkin, apparently a popular category of porn.
The world's such a weird place. I want off the ride. I want some sad alien shit to happen. You know, like
someone's jerking off to sad alien shit.
Everyone's like, oh, you don't know what the world's gonna be like. I mean, you can't. You're gonna go hungry and no electricity. I'm like, yeah, no, I will die. I'm not gonna be one of them crazy 3%ers with a bug out bag who can like go out and hunt venison and keep myself alive and not contract a parasite doing it. I'm definitely dead. I'm definitely dead come the apocalypse. So let's just get it over with. Let's just hurry it up.
Let's eat random break room food and maybe get sick.
How many more political cycles do we have to go through before we realize that half the country hates the other half of the country? And then there's like a really small amount of people in the middle that are like, we just want to be left alone. And both sides hate those people. They're going to be the first to die. Anyone who at any point tries to say this, well, I think they might have a point. Dead. You're dead.
Well, it sounds to me like you're saying pick a side. And right now it's Outlaw and Q MAGA.
That's don't
being
you do
MAGA
it.
Is punk rock.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is die.
Well, obviously.
And I'm giving people a very easy, simple way to do it. When the political wars finally happen, you just be like, I'm a conscientious objector. And everyone's going to go, oh, fuck you. And then they'll kill you.
Will they kill you or will they shun you? Because potentially they don't kill you and now you're alive and you have no resources.
You're not Andrew Garfield and Hacksaw Ridge. Everyone's going to fucking kill you. Oh, you've got resources and won't do any killing for us in the wastelands? Are you high?
Why don't we just take it from you? Yeah. Why don't you just tell me the movie you want to see?
And then everyone takes your shit and then they kill you. Because again, at least some people will be cannibals. People are going to get desperate. They're going
to
be desperate.
If you have an excuse to become a cannibal, if you have an excuse to eat human meat, you take it.
I mean, sure.
You have to know.
Get bad cow disease, but for humans.
Yeah, pissed off internet commenter disease.
Yeah, that's how the zombie apocalypse starts, is a couple of people get a little too excited about eating human in the civilized society, and the rage virus heads out.
What an amazing idea. You have a social media influencer who decides to dick around like a Logan Paul type and is like, eating people is the new viral social
Isn't
media
that pretty
challenge.
Cool? Check it out. And I paid this guy $100,000 and now I'm about to eat his penis. Penis eating challenge, bro. Rah, 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 rah. I'm Logan Paul.
Oh, thanks for the $25 tip on Twitch. Yeah. Trying to gag down a severed penis.
This penis is terrible. Why did I pick a guy who was so well endowed?
Listen, if the YouTubers will stop boxing each other all the time, I'd be fine seeing them eat a penis on Twitch.
I'm going to go ahead and say, no, I want them to keep boxing each other.
To give each other CTE so they forget to do YouTube.
Yes, so that they all get brain damage and we have to deal with them for less amounts of time. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say like, I mean, obviously there's all that shit with boxing. Like, I don't get why people box anymore. But if you're going to do it, go ahead. Like, look at some of the people, how much money they get paid to do it. Whatever. I can't judge you.
That's the thing is boxing has this kind of like outlaw, posh mystique to it where it's like mobsters would go to the fights and celebrities would go to the fights and
sure.
Jimmy Sinatra's there
watch
and
these
he's going to stab a guy later.
Beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, we're going to watch these two pugilists go at it. It had like a weird like status type thing. Boxing has a weird status among sports and attending it.
And then the funny thing is though is like – the great thing about having seen all of that stuff happen a long time ago is that now we can see what happens to those people when they're older and we're all informed about it. It's not like it's the 1920s people beating each other. They weren't like, well, by the 1950s, everyone figured out what was going on. But like now we have like, now we can scan people's brains and be like, oh yeah, it's from punching each other in the head. Maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. But still people are playing football. Like, you know, people still doing it. Like, okay.
There's still money to be made. And that's why this will continue to happen. And that's why YouTubers are doing it.
And that's why I want the world to end.
Now it's Barfy Man 5000 fighting Mr. Beast.
But if it's stupid douchebags doing it, like, I feel bad when it's like a really talented athlete who's out there at the top of his game. And we just don't have the technology to fucking protect that person. And they get really bad injuries. And it's all for people that scream on the sidelines, you fucking suck. And they're happy. Like, think about it. People are happy when important players on the other team gets hurt. That's a good fucking thing. That is celebrated.
Thank God that guy totally broomsticked his ACL.
There are 80,000 people telling any specific football player to fucking kill themselves on Twitter right now. You know? What was my point?
I have no idea.
Anyways.
You took a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, well, so why are we still doing it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Why are we still doing celebrity boxing?
No, no, no. Why are we still letting great people hurt themselves in sports? We should be letting people that are YouTubers destroy themselves because fuck those assholes.
Well, we're fine with that, but you're asking why do people, like, commit their body to sports?
Well, it's a ton of money.
It's a ton of money, but also if you love it.
True.
You love something, you'll do it even if it destroys you.
See, that's beautiful.
You know? That's the most beautiful kind of love. The kind that makes you really happy.
I mean, I'd like
to
think that we keep doing this podcast because I love this podcast, but it's definitely destroying me slowly.
And it's taking its time.
It's taking its toll.
It's taking its sweet time.
It's a cancer that forms and slowly grows. I'm telling you, it's getting pretty big, guys. One of these days.
The third mic is going to end up being Rory's tumor. Tumor in the house. Hillary Clinton's the devil.
Oh, no, it's conservative.
You can't say that on radio. You get the diagnosis, I'm sorry, but your tumor, it's a Goldwater conservative.
Oh, no. My God. I miss Rush Limbaugh. Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Now there's a man who had some ideas.
It's already metastasized to his brain.
Tumor.
Alex Jones got a raw deal.
It's just me talking to myself. It's like, he thinks he's talking to a conservative tumor. You can't say that, tumor. That's the one thing I think we need to do. That'll get us a lot more listeners, is if we become famous in some way.
How about we fake cancer and get famous the old, I probably have to bleep his name out, but way. That guy was a Hall of Fame piece of shit.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's probably doing better than me now, which makes me really sad. He's out there. He's living it. He's moved past it.
At least you have your cool internet friends.
Think about the irony if he later in life gets cancer, though. Like, that's a great irony.
Let's operate under the assumption that God is real and God has a sense of humor. That's 100% going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, he does worse shit to other people. So.
The only thing that would make it sweeter is if his, like, dying wish was to meet Alanis Morissette, and she refuses and just sends him a tape. It's like rain! Isn't it ironic?
I want you to play this.
And quite frankly, a nicer guy it could not happen to.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I can't remember. That was pretty crazy when that all went down. Because I was working somewhere that gentleman frequented. We won't say his name again. You don't have to do too much
work.
But I was working somewhere. And everybody who knows who this person is will be able to identify him anyway. So it doesn't matter. I was working at a country club. And I was doing a little bit of bartending for, like, after certain tournaments. Mostly just people come up to you, buy rounds of beer for their entire table, and then chuck you 75 cents for a tip.
These are all men's tournaments out there.
Swell, swell guys. You set up a big thing of Arnold Palmer and make John Daly's all day.
<It's like basically laughs> give it to him in little hamster bottles.
Yeah, you just give him red cups. But long story short, he showed up one day and came over and got a drink and da-da-da. And I remember looking at it, wow, I think the cancer he picked was like stomach cancer. Pick something stupid.
Brutal.
Yeah.
That's an... Okay.
And already shaved his head, you know, because chemo and stuff. And when he left, I was like, his eyebrows are fine. You know? The hair on the rest of his body is fine at this point.
He didn't have the balls.
He just shaved his head. And I think that had something to, like, I don't know. I don't know the person who found him out. Like, they went and looked up, like, his oncologist and, like, went and, like, somebody did some digging after they, like, saw what I saw. Or, like, when you're doing chemo, you don't have little buds of hair on the top of your head because you didn't shave it this morning, you know, you lazy idiot. And somebody went and, like, searched it out and found out, no, this motherfucker didn't have cancer.
And that's the thing. The real problem here in all of this is that he was not committed to the grift.
Like, not
he
at all.
He was not committed to the grift. He thought it would come easy, but nothing worth having comes easy. If you're going to commit to the cancer grift, you commit the whole way.
Like Andy Kaufman, and you die.
And if someone calls your oncologist, you have a fake oncologist already set up with someone you trust.
Yeah.
Maybe a stranger, because they have no reason to blow up
the
spot.
This is the thing, though, is like we are in a fairly rural era. How many specialists do you think there are in stomach cancer, you know?
But how many people know that on average?
One more than he expected.
Well, he did get outed by someone who thought to call an oncologist.
This was a country
club. If a convincing job was done, would they then bother to follow up?
This was a country club, right? So there were doctors and people with some money around, you know.
Sure.
So this was a place. This was a nice place. That's the only reason I worked there.
Tips God. From the boys.
Those 75-cent tips really kept me going. And yeah, somebody just was like, I'm a doctor and that's bullshit. Hell, you know, somebody.
This is the thing. He wasn't committed to the grift because if he got found out, which he always going to.
There's an easier thing to fake than stomach cancer.
There are much easier things. Even fucking skin cancer or something.
I'll just say I've got irritable bowel or because I already do, you know. Like,
I won't have to fake much.
I won't have to fake much. Can I get famous for that? I mean,
I'm just going to chug a couple hot sauce packets
remember,
and speed it along.
That's the goal here, right, is to find our way to a little bit of fame. And then be like, by the way, they've got a podcast. Because it's one of those things where, like, if you look at any old television show or movie, you see somebody on a poster, you can, like point a finger at it and go, that guy's got a podcast.
Everyone has a podcast.
And the thing is all of those podcasts have thousands and thousands of people listening to the point where that dude in the old thing who was the kid in that show, he's not even acting anymore. He's just doing the podcast. That's all he's doing. And it's paying for it.
Well, and we're fully just pissing into the wind, man. Nobody listens to this. Maybe people would listen more if our listeners were like, I got to get a friend to listen to it because I'm pretty sure these guys are going to kill themselves if more people don't listen. So I feel a moral obligation to keep them alive.
I mean, we're giving great life lessons here. If you didn't get from the last one, it's don't fake cancer. I think that's a pretty good... We're putting out some good... thoughtful advice here.
It's solid advice. And
if
I may go further, if you do get caught faking cancer, your first and only move is to immediately spin into, oh, you're a crazy hypochondriac and you're mentally ill and people should pity you on those grounds.
Sure.
You are a paranoid schizophrenic hypochondriac who faked having cancer because he didn't know what else to do. I'm mentally crazy.
Yep.
Then you have your fame. Well, then you have your attention.
Yep. But no.
Couldn't even figure that one out.
Well, again, I think it all stemmed back to that guy. Like, he hurt his shoulder or something, couldn't go back to work. Eventually, that money, like, sugared off. Had to find the next thing.
Well, commit to the graft.
And,
that's all I say.
Set up a GoFundMe. I think the only reason he didn't end up in, like, bad, bad jail was he paid all the money back. Like, he worked it all off. So, hey. And then he stayed in the same town he lived in for years. I don't know if he's still around. I don't know. I don't get out often.
Glory days, ooh, pass you back. Glory days.
I should go do some more strutting around town. Good morning, sir. Fuck you. Hello
and
there,
you
sir.
You as well, sir.
Do you have a dollar? No. Fuck you. It's good to be home.
The Burger King burned down.
Baby, I'm amazed the way you love me all the time. Just beautiful background music as the camera fades out and the credits hit. I just watch it burn.
Cut to it.
That's nice.
That's good stuff.
It's beautiful. Sunset in the distance. It's that nice orange color, you know?
Sherbet orange. Mm. Feels
I love
like you
that.
Could just reach out and it would be warm to your touch.
That's a nice color. I like that color.
Nestled in
so
pink.
So good. I learned the other day that if it wasn't for like the vacuum of space, if we heard the sun at the decibel level it went out, it would be like jackhammers, like the sound of jackhammers going constantly over your ear, over the entire planet. There'd be no escaping it. So isn't that fun?
That's nice.
It's a nice little fun fact for you.
That's cool.
It also lasts for, because the speed of sound, I think it lasts for such a significant amount of time. Like the speed of light is like a couple of minutes from the sun, right? Like 13 minutes. Like if the sun were to go out just one day, something happens to it, it explodes. Something really fucked up happens to our sun. It takes us like 12 minutes to figure out. Like 12 minutes from now, oh shit, the sun blew up. Oh my God. And some ask, well, actually, that happened like 12 minutes ago. And then everyone kills each other. But it would take like a couple of days, I think, for the jackhammer noise to stop. So good thing we don't have that. Because just imagine like the sun goes out and the lights are off, but you just still hear the noise of our dead sun. Yeah, for fucking like 7-ish days. Wouldn't that be fun?
It's kind of nice.
Science is great, you guys. The more you know, the more you learn, I think is just...
Dream bigger about the ways in which you hope to die.
If anyone can figure out how I can monetize, you know, these stupid facts or, you know, let me know.
Again, share this podcast. Keep us alive just a little longer.
Yep.
And then,
or don't. I'm not your mom. I don't know.
We'll start a Patreon.
Yeah.
You want to loop back to these crackers?
I mean, sure. Go ahead.
I can't not do the bit.
No. I mean, they're we in
got
front of you.
Three, we got four different kind of crackers, three different variants of Wheat Thins.
Wait, really?
Including a sub
thins?
One called Good Thins.
I'd like to think that one person brought all of this, but I'm also thinking like the comical sitcom where like I brought Wheat Thins, and then like there's that canned applause, and the next person runs in, oh, Wheat Thins, and they put it down on the table, and the third person comes in, oh, what a wonderful day! Wah, wah. They're also carrying Wheat Thins, and the applause happens, and it cuts to the title credits.
Guess we have too little cheese for all these Wheat Thins.
Patton Oswalt.
Oh, Dolores. You and your negative outlook.
Dun, 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 dun,
produced
dun,
by Dick Wolf.
Oh, it's much more somber then. I went happy like family.
Stephen Cannell. Yeah, I don't know any other creators. Dun, 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 dun. There's been a murder and a rape. Come quickly.
We don't know what they do. We just know that they all comically brought Wheat Thins in. But it's directed by Dick Wolf, so it's something judicial.
Yeah. Justice of the Wheat.
All right, so what kind of Wheat
Thins? It was lazy, but we did one.
We got there, guys. I hope you're all proud of us. Yeah, that's what we gave you after we just asked you to tell people about this podcast.
Yeah,
don't you all seem like rational, well thought out people?
Just remember, you're
this.
The ones who stay. We're gonna keep doing it. You don't have to stay, but just stick around.
I'd love to think that there's at least one person listening to this. Just this episode, just like, I'll give it the old college try. And they are just, how far in am I? 20 minutes? Oh my God. They're talking about Wheat Thins?
How much longer are they going to do this?
I am never taking a recommendation from them ever again.
I'm going to confront Andy at work and strike him.
I'm just,
maybe with a stapler.
I'm so upset. I'm converting to Judaism.
Oh no.
Look at what you've done. All because of this podcast.
Oh my God.
Wholeheartedly sponsored by Jews everywhere, though. Really, it's just a joke, folks. Anyways, what do we got for Wheat Thins?
We've got original Wheat Thins. Mm. Would you like to crunch on one?
I've never been a Wheat Thin guy. Like, especially, I like a lot of plain, bland food, but I've never been like,
this is plain, bland food.
I'm hankering for some Wheat Thins. I would rather just get some Triscuits, which I see you've also got.
Okay,
there,
so we'll skip. You know?
No. They're Wheat Thins original. We got to fucking do it. We got to do it.
Are we doing a sampling?
I'm not. Disappointing the people at home. You've got four boxes of dry crackers here. I can't
hell
wait for my
yeah.
voice afterwards. They're not even opened, are they? Oh, they are. Okay.
Hell yeah, big money player. They're open.
This is
gentle crinkles.
This is the best pod we've ever had.
I hope David Barstool Portnoy picks this one up.
Oh, man.
Here's your cracker.
Oh, thank
you. Or do you
man.
Want one I didn't touch?
No,
oh, well.
It's over now.
My hand's already been in
there.
They're
dry. It's a dry food. It's okay.
It's dry food. You ready to crunch?
Fuck me. All right. Yeah. Mmm.
Mmm. It's like a little tile from the Sahara.
It's like somebody chose this as their treat.
Mmm. You really need that greasy pepperoni and that savory cheese.
You need a little cheese on there, yeah.
To make a Wheat Thin sing. You ever like Cheese Whiz from the can?
Nah, not really.
Me either. I've been known to eat it. What did you eat it on if you ever ate it?
A cracker of some kind.
What kind?
Ritz, probably.
Oh my God, me too. Yeah. Oh my God, Ritz.
Wow.
They're kind of made for it.
We're from a place where you get good cheese and it's plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never going to be, oh, there's cheese in a can, huh? And they go, well, cheese is being pretty nice. Have some. No, I'm
cheese product.
Yeah, pass. Yeah. I was that guy, instead of getting that when I was going to the store, I would just be like, oh man, whipped cream. And then someone's like, no, you can't buy that. I was like, why not? I want some whipped cream. I'm like, no. They're going to think you're using it to get high. I'm like, that's not going to come for at least 10 more years. Crazy.
My inhalants phase will be much later statistically.
Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. I haven't even heard of Steve-O yet.
Hi, I'm Steve-O, and this is the gluten-free cracker challenge.
I mean, that wasn't bad. It's about as good as either of us is going to do.
Starts puking before he does anything.
Yeah. These are wasabi snooters.
Oh, God.
What is this?
Ever pull out?
What is his problem?
Drugs.
Well, I mean, drugs at that point, you're right. But he's still doing it.
He's doing stand-up now.
I kind of want to go see it.
I
kind of want.
Apparently, it's like a Mick Foley type thing where he knows he's not a comedian, and he doesn't try to, like, hang with the boys at the table in the cellar. Anyway, Good Thins, gluten-free, Parmesan, garlic, rice, and cheese snacks.
These are not Wheat Thins. These are Good Thins?
They're Good Thins.
Good Thins. I've never... They're, what are they called? Gluten-free what?
Gluten-free, made with cheese, Parmesan and garlic, good thins, crisp, cracker, rice and cheese snack.
Rice and cheese. Okay, fuck you me. Right? Uh-huh. The garlic is fine.
It kind of has a communion wafer consistency that I don't love, but the flavor is there.
Reminds you of your guilt. Flavor goes away pretty quick.
I feel like I sinned. Yeah, and then it does go away, and then you're left with the matzo ball thing.
Mm-hmm. I got to be honest, if they were handing those out at church, I might have been more religious growing up, though. The power of Christ. Ooh, Christ was garlicky. Ooh.
I hear they're using a new one today.
That is so nice. What is that? They put a little Parmesan on the body of Christ today? Mm.
Garden roasted herb?
Give me a good drink of that wine to wash it down. Ooh, I see the blood of Christ is a nice zin today. Ooh.
2016, we should drink this immediately.
That is incredible. Give me another sip, Father. Get back in line.
Don't make me hurt you, Father.
I see, again, I would have made a great Catholic.
You would have made an excellent Catholic. You would have made an excellent Jewish person.
It would have been great just because I would have been to argue with people. How do you know it's not wrong? I would have said to people.
You become an infuriating Catholic.
That's what faith is about. You piece of shit.
I don't have to have an argument. I have faith.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hate it so much.
We have Triscuits, fire roasted tomato, and olive oil.
I wish I could be there on the other side of nothing when you die to point out that we're not in anywhere.
I want to laugh in your face while a satanic goat dances in the foreground.
I will stare at you from the void while we watch the universe die on the other side of the event horizon. Anyways,
come
what do
die
we have
with
here?
Me, friend. Come die with me in the land of fire roasted tomatoes and olive oil.
Is this the Triscuits?
Yeah.
Oh, these are going to be just unpleasant. See, here's my thing about Triscuits. Plain is fine. You don't really need to do other fucking Triscuits. You're putting shit on your Triscuits. If you're having plain Triscuits, your stomach hurts and you're trying to settle it.
Are you thinking of saltines?
No, I'm thinking of Triscuits as well. Or you are 75 and above and you're going, I want a snack with some zest. And then you're having a plain Triscuit.
It should be scratchy too.
This says...
This has a lot of flavoring on it. I won't lie to you.
Says 57-year-old widow. It's written all over it.
Putting cheap cheese on this.
Yeah, I don't. So what is this? What is this? This is gonna be the worst thing I eat.
Fire roasted tomato and olive oil.
This is gonna be the worst thing
on a Triscuit.
It's just got so much going on. I can't even tell what flavor it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like here.
Ride the lightning.
This is gonna stick to your tongue. Is what it is.
See, I'm also a person that likes, like, mini wheats and stuff. I like the shreddy, shitty stuff.
Oh, I love frosted
mini
wheats.
It's like doing penance while you eat it.
Hmm. That's really unpleasant.
I didn't hate it. It would have been better with cheap cheese on it, though.
I would have liked it better if it was plain and then more with cheese. You're having another, aren't you? Oh, I thought you were having another. I was like, you're fucking mad.
Ah. Closing the box up. We got one more.
I got nothing about it. That's like, It's like if doing your taxes was a flavor.
Yeah. It's a long conversation with your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Is what that is.
About what your future is going to look like and how you're going to provide for her special and only daughter.
And how she loves to talk about a chronic disorder she has that she calls the loosey-gooseys.
Yeah. And
it once resulted in her being kicked out of an Applebee's for voiding the content of her bowels near the salad bar.
And I'm not sure what's worse. See, for a while, you and your wife could not stand her. And you were on the same page about it. But as the years have gone on, she's started to sort of renew a relationship with her mom. She hasn't changed a bit, is the problem. And it's driving you mad.
Even worse, she's started to become her mom.
Yeah, she's starting to transform just a little bit. It became conversations that before had gone, oh my God, yeah, I know, I hate her too. I don't know, I kind of see your point.
She makes an interesting point.
Yeah, oh God. Oh,
and
no.
Now you too are shitting yourself in an Applebee's and acting like it's everyone else's problem.
You're just telling him you had to work late, but really, you know, you're on those double Jack and Cokes. And Bloomin' Onions.
Oh yeah.
You got to get the Bloomin' Onions.
You see, they've got this thing called an Awesome Blossom.
It's awesome. Delightful. Yeah. You wouldn't think to order it, but then you do one time. You and a bunch of people, and delightful.
Then you start getting Awesome Blossom for one.
Yeah, by
or
yourself.
Or you're getting hammered at an airport bar.
You're showing up, and they've already kind of been prepping it in the back, knowing around what time you were going to show up, and that they could just bring it out to you.
Yeah, if it's a little cold because you were a little late, whatever.
Yeah.
Because there's no joy in this greeting. They just know you're coming.
Yeah, they know that you cannot stand the cooking that is waiting for you at home. So you're going to have a little bit of food here and then just say that your stomach's bothering you like always.
Right. Because you're full of awesome blossom.
And Jack and Cokes. Isn't this great, guys?
You borrow that. You don't keep that. You don't play for keeps in that awesome blossom game. You're borrowing that.
Your wife has noticed because your stools have softened.
Yes, she does check your stools.
She has been, yeah.
She's only concerned about your health.
Really, it's because you sound different while you poo now.
She takes your shit to the vet, has it analyzed.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's because she cares. Last man standing.
Right, okay, what is it?
It's a Triscuit.
Triscuit, okay.
Avocado, cilantro, and lime.
I'm going to hate this.
We're
going to
have a nice sour one.
I correct myself. I thought fire roasted tomato and olive oil was going to be the thing that I hated here. I hate things with lime. I cannot fucking stand. I think it's because I have a bad stomach, like acidic things that always fucked me up. So even like the notion of having something with lime on it, like somebody buy like, oh, I got the Tostitos with lime. And I'm like, I'll be having none of those.
You are an asshole. Yeah. Thanks for nothing.
Like, was it really so, like, this is the thing I ask everyone. Did you really have to zest up the shit we dip in other shit?
What? Yeah, you got to keep those hits firing, man. Why you're not having sex. You got to get your pleasure points from the food.
Couldn't get the scoops. Had to get the scoops with lime. I just fought.
Listen, I'm with you. Hint of lime is a shitty thing to do to a savory food. It really is.
I don't understand it. Again, people did it, the beer with the lime. No. No, I do not.
The only time is when you use lime juice on your corn and cover it in salt.
I've only had one lime in one thing. It was with Corona. Corona with lime. That's it.
Well, there you go.
That's the only way you drink a Corona, because otherwise it tastes like any other beer, which is not very good.
Fun fact like about Corona is the minute you touch it, it takes on the same temperature as your body.
That's just science. It was actually made to do that.
Yeah, that's not a bug. That's a feature.
Now watch this, and you spin the ball and suck it down as fast as you can.
You get like 2/3 of the way through before you start gagging. Your body has no choice to recognize what's happening to it.
There was a lime in that bottle. It's in me now. Rind it all, baby.
You just shit a spent lime later.
You know, people see corn in their poo. I start seeing limes.
That's what I do. I just start swimming away from Corona.
I start swimming away from Pat. Ah, good old Pat Oswalt.
Oh, shit. So this is going to be like a buttery, fatty...
This is the word no.
...kind of mouthfeel, but with the aggressiveness of cilantro and the acidity of
lime. Somebody who like doesn't know what the taste of cilantro is, really.
You like it or you don't. That's literally what it is. You either have the enzyme that makes it pleasurable to you, or you don't.
Seriously?
I've got it. I can enjoy cilantro. I do.
I don't want to do this.
El perro.
Es mi corazón. Yeah.
El gato.
What was
el gato no es bueno. Cilantro es cantante. Cilantro es cariñoso. Oh, cilantro es el hombre con el queso del diablo.
Yeah, the cheese of the devil. It's a beautiful song. We all loved it.
The second verse when he says El gato es obsceno.
The cat is obscene.
I don't know why that kills me so much.
Because it's such a stupid nonsense song. What was the name? What's his name?
Cilantro.
Cilantro is the name of the artist, right?
Yeah.
You got to look that one up, guys. It's great.
A peak American dad.
Cilantro El Perro.
Oh, it's so good. Maybe I'll make that the opener of the show this week.
El Perro? No, maybe. We'll get sued. All right, give me one of these fucking murder Triscuits.
You want a murder cracker?
I don't want one.
Get in there. Science is all about coulda, not shoulda.
I want a small one. Fuck!
Yeah, well, you got a nice
one. I got a big one.
Ninja star there. Me too.
Oh, it doesn't smell right at all.
It doesn't smell at all.
You got a... Mine smells. I'm not going to let you smell mine. All right, here we go.
Ready?
A lot more bland than I thought it would be.
No.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's pretty bland.
Mm-hmm. There's really nothing to this. Maybe I got a bad one. It smelled like shit.
You want to try another one?
No. I got out of this task. Failed successfully. Hey, guess what? The cilantro, they taste like, what do you call it? A regular Triscuit with none of the salt on it.
And a hint of lime.
I'm getting a really unpleasant aftertaste from it, and that's about it.
It hits you in the back of the tongue immediately with the tang of the lime, and then it just does kind of taste a little burned.
Really unpleasant all around.
That's not good.
Why not just get a regular Triscuit?
Because they're having fun in the break room. Mix it up. Show your creativity. Pieces of flair.
Do you guys want to eat stuff today that doesn't really taste that good? Oh my God, yes I do.
This is going to bring us so much closer together as coworkers.
I look at the kind of people who hang around not eating sesame seeds because it's like an activity, but it's also, you know, something to chew on. They just eat the seeds as being like... She's like, why do you snack on something like that?
I can have five of these to fit into the dress just at my friend's wedding.
Just wait for the next meal.
Then you get people here who I know for a fact order Domino's multiple times a week. And they're not a great big fat person. They just do it.
I don't know. I just split the difference and have a Jolly Rancher every now and then. Oh, is it really bad for your teeth? And I go, shut up.
I understand the irony.
I get it.
I know where we are.
Yep. And you just sit there and chew on it and stare at them down.
This was good.
Yeah, I mean, did it stick between your teeth and you can't open anymore?
No, it's fine.
No. Fuck off.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. Well, I don't have, I had approximately 35 minutes of cracker content, it seems.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I was pretty impressed by how long you dragged that wonderful, that little bit out.
It's what we're good at.
I mean, you got one more thing there in the bowl. What is it? There's something sitting in a dish.
This?
Yeah.
One lone Tootsie Fruit Chew vanilla.
Oh, it's vanilla? That's such a fucking mean thing to do because it's in a blue wrapper.
Hard as a bullet.
And you're sitting there going, I bet you this is blue raspberry. And if it was blue raspberry, I would have said, fuck it. Let me have that thing that was synthesized from the anus of a beaver gland. The beaver's anus gland. I don't know how to do that.
Express yourself.
See, I like to think that that's how they came up with the flavor. That's how they figured it out. And then they've been making a synthesized version of it since. So it's not really coming from a beaver's asshole, you guys. Feel better when you have blue raspberry stuff.
It just tastes like a beaver's asshole.
Yeah, it's just synthetically made that way.
But there's no beaver asshole in it.
Wait till we tell you how the flavor for banana came up.
There's just a chimpanzee with its hands behind its head just relaxing.
You know what we meant.
Drained.
No. No, 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 no. Oh, no.
To Gordy's house.
Well, you know what I was thinking since we were talking about music earlier? And you know what I miss is the old days on VH1 when they would do the behind the musics. You'd hear about like all the fucked up shit that would happen to celebrities who, mind you, were still alive at the time they were making the VH1 behind the music. And I always sat there and be like, I wonder what my like VH1 behind the music like downturn would have been, like what my awful thing would have been. Like, I don't know what, you know.
Nobody in the industry was touching him, so he molested himself.
Oh yeah. And then it took a turn for the worse, and it's just
he faked having cancer.
Shots of me in handcuffs, you know, coming out of like some random like water feature in a nearby park.
Man, I don't even remember 2005.
I remember that. My pants were full of nickels, man. Only the nickels, let me tell you what.
Maybe I thought I could end it in that fountain. If I just weighed myself down with nickels.
But now I'm doing better. And just me with a Chuck E. Cheese head on, pretending to be one of the animatronics.
Hey, kids.
Like, I don't actually do any of the singing or the dancing or the playing. I'm really just there for mostly just to do the music. All the stuff just comes out of speakers.
I sit inside of the thing and it moves without me. And it's pretty good. It's like getting one of them workouts where you don't actually have to do anything. Just what they do to atrophy patients in the hospital.
Just hanging out, listening to that pizza party song all day long, man. Let me tell you what. If I could do it all again, I think I would.
No. No, I do believe I'd kill myself.
Takes a nice drag off that cigarette's a little too long.
Winces, coughs up a little bit of blood as he exhales.
Well, better get back in there.
That giant rat isn't going to move itself. It is.
Puts his hat back on. Some 16-year-old kid. Where have you been? Yeah, yes, Mr. Pinsinelli.
Are you drunk again?
Oh, man. I should start applying to Chuck E. Cheese's.
Apply to be a mascot.
That sounds fun.
Let's walk this out. Should we do mascots? Should we be mascots?
I don't think they'd be like, all right, do your front flip and just me just breaking all of my teeth into whatever linoleum is below me. Just
you just jump straight into the air.
Give me
and
a
then
car.
Fall flat on your face.
They get one look at me and be like, man, that guy is out of shape.
You're just dressed like a giant taco and you just fall over.
I want you to do three laps and then come over here and do some jumps and high fives. I get like halfway around the second time. Like, oh, he's crawling. He's really trying to make it. Give me a team. Let's go, team. Just me. Oh, we got to use that for the next person. They gave me the job because it smells like my vomit.
You
now.
Marked it.
See, the thing
it's
is,
like a beaver's ass.
I get through the first time I wear it, and I like go out, interact with the audience, and they can all still smell the vomit, which is basically caked into the costume at this point, like really in there. Because again, my jitters, I pretty much vomit every time before I go out to perform. So, oh, there, little girl, she just screams. Oh no, don't be scared.
You're standing, you're dancing on top of the dugout, and puke's just seeping out of your jeans.
I got cougar pride.
Come on, team.
Let's go, team.
You puke and it shoots through the eye holes of the mascot.
Me running it through like the JV girls basketball teams across the gym. And just see me leaving vomit paw prints out of the car. Go Wildcats.
It's pukey.
They love me at the football games because it's outdoors and they can throw stuff at me. But indoors, whew.
You got to pack a lot of sawdust when pukey comes out to do his routine.
Those basketball games get pretty gamey, let me tell you.
They get the rival school's mascot and you just puke on it and everyone cheers wildly.
How this house became a home for one mascot. VH1's Behind the Music. Branched out mascot edition.
If you ever wondered what happened to the people from 98 Degrees.
Yeah, at that point, before everything, I was pretty... Oh, that sounds fun.
It's pretty much part of me now. Can't predict when it's going to come up, what kind of consistency it's going to be, but
every now and
some
then,
point I'm going to puke my guts out.
I get a bad whiff of this here costume and go, here it goes.
Did you get that one?
We did.
I told you.
Oh, that's off. So yeah, that's my behind the... I end up becoming a vomiting mascot, I guess.
That's pretty cool, actually. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
He's like, well, I died of heroin. That was it.
I died the way that I lived, inside of a puke-ridden mascot. It's fucking beautiful. What's the most fucked up behind the music you ever saw?
Oh, God, I don't even remember. Probably like Madonna or some stupid fucking thing like that. Some, like, you know, behind the scenes of Guns N' Roses. You're like, I don't know. Something stupid. Slash did drugs.
Man.
I don't remember any of them now. I don't remember. But I just remember seeing the behind the scenes of VH1's Behind the Music. Like, oh, we ready? We got the microphone on? Just stupid douchebag shit like that.
Hope I don't say anything incriminating.
You're going to do great. Drinks a bunch of whiskey. I just remember bits and pieces, you know. I don't remember any full one. It was a very riveting show.
Oh, it was done very dramatically.
So
it's
tastefully.
Like Meatloaf talks about his addiction. Yeah.
Behind the scenes of Nickelback.
That almost killed him. It's just Meatloaf hammering ice cream.
It's just them being like, we did a lot of Jaeger, man. It got to be... to a point where we were doing it before every show. We're like, well, this has got to stop. Like, wow, that's pretty lame. It's pretty lame comparatively.
That's kind of like, I love Rush and I love the guys in Rush, but the Rush documentary was essentially that.
I feel like it was basically a lot of Neil Peart being depressed and going on long motorcycle trips
but
through
still
the American
being
West.
Like the nicest guy ever, and they're all the nicest guys ever. And instead of like, you know, the Rolling Stones would be like, well, what we didn't realize was we had done so much cocaine that we had had sex with each other.
Yeah.
And we're all chaps, and we said, we've got to stop doing cocaine. Cut to the next night. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, they're just sucking each other off, doing blow off each other's boners.
Yep.
Behind the music.
Sure.
Rush was just like, well, we went to a pizza parlor late at night, and got a pie, and then brought it back to the hotel, and one of us tripped, and... got in the rug and we said, oh, geez.
Canadians, man.
Rockstar lifestyle. We'll make sure we pay for that. That shouldn't be on the hotel.
Sorry. Well,
yeah,
I think that's the thing that always confused me is imagine being super famous. I get how at a certain point it'd be really exhausting to have people like harass you all the time. But if you're like Rush level famous where like you get recognized a lot, but for the most part, a lot of people don't recognize you and kind of get through certain situations. Why wouldn't you just be the nicest person in the world? You got more money than you could ever do anything with. And, you know, you don't have to worry about anything. Oh, it sounds nice. You get to play music.
It's pretty good. Split the difference. Like, I feel
sounds so nice.
You know, on the actor side of thing, like Jason Segel would get noticed in public, but not by everybody.
Yeah.
Just
you
another
forget Sarah Marshall.
I guess you forgot Jason Segel.
Yeah.
See what I did there? It's clever. I also wrote the film.
Yeah.
You see my penis in it.
Are you Jason Biggs? And he goes, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, you do see his penis in that.
You do.
You see his penis.
He unabashedly drops trow. He hangs dong. Jason Segel hangs dong in a modern
and
mainstream comedy.
And it's funny
comedy.
Because he didn't really need to. It just sort of sets the stage for him doing it at the end of the movie.
And so, it's the worst breakup of his life, and he's nude while it's happening.
Yeah, it sets it to be a particularly brutal moment.
Yeah,
is what it does. Is he's perfectly, completely nude, suggesting sex to his girlfriend who has come over there with the explicit purpose of leaving him.
Peter, would you just like to put some pants on?
I think I would just prefer you to tell me what's going on right now.
If I put pants on, then it means the relationship is over. I haven't watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall in such a long time, but that is an incredible movie.
It's just so brutal.
It's amazing.
It's such a brutal movie.
A Taste for Life! Bill Hader gives his 100% all in that movie.
Bill Hader, he does great. You know what else I reminded myself that Bill Hader is in was Tropic Thunder as Tom Cruise's like underling.
Rob Slalom.
Do you know this? Why?
Probably autism.
Why? Of all the things, what was the name of Tom Cruise's character? Les. See, that didn't come to you.
No, what was it? Oh, that's a great thing. A great question.
Like Les Grossman?
Les Grossner.
Grossner or Grossman?
Yep. Or Grossman?
Something gross.
Lex Grossman. Les Grossman.
Look it up, guys.
Lex Luger.
Lex Luthor. He's bald.
Ali Sheedy.
Charlie Sheen.
Loretta Swit.
I haven't got anything else.
Yep. So, yep. That's that.
Guess that's over. What are
that's
we?
Tropic Thunder.
Isn't that movie a thing?
We gave Robert Downey Jr. an Academy Award for blackface.
We really did. That was a different time. It's what people are going to be saying.
Or no, we didn't. We just nominated him because Heath Ledger got it posthumously.
Right, yeah.
They're like, we can give it to a dead guy or we can give it to the guy that did blackface. So
they gave it to the dead guy.
Your move, Hollywood.
I think they probably made the right decision there. That one.
In retrospect. But then they went on to give Green Book Best Picture.
I want to go back and watch the Comedy Awards one more time when that happened. Is that still going on? I don't think so, right?
The Comedy Awards?
It was the one that Jerry Seinfeld got an award and like bashed the whole fucking thing. Wasn't that what it was? It was some fucking thing like that. Why am I getting this award? This is absolutely ridiculous. It was some weird... He really shit on it. And I don't think they ever did it again.
It's like...
He's like, I don't need this for what I do. We don't need this.
Okay, man, you don't need it, but they're giving it to you. Can you just kind of like graciously show up, tell a couple jokes, and leave?
Yeah. He made a
good point,
you got to
crush these people?
Because we don't. If it's the Comedy Awards, doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But if they just want to give it to you, let it. It's like a little kid comes up and hands you a macaroni painting. When you can go, that's a piece of shit. What's that supposed to be a duck? Ducks aren't green.
Listen, as somebody who's really anti-Jerry Seinfeld, this was one of the few times I was like, yeah. This is stupid.
It is stupid. I'm not advocating for the show. It's fucking dumb.
It was like when...
But he doesn't have to be a dick about it.
Oh, but he's always a dick, though.
I know, which makes me hate him, but I love Seinfeld.
Yeah, well, and again, it's one of those things that he's just... He is his character. Like, that's it. Like, I think a long time ago, Jerry Seinfeld forgot how to not... Like, how to be unsarcastic. Really.
Maybe he got stuck in sarcasm mode.
Yeah, I think he really just like everything is a joke. Everything is a joke. I don't think he really means half of what he says unless the thing he said is it's like painfully sarcastic to you, you know? I think otherwise, oh yeah, beautiful day, yeah, totally. Kind of just one of those guys. Like, oh God, he passed away, but he was one of the original roasters. He was really good, but he was a total asshole to anybody who talked to him.
One of the original
he was like a great
are we talking on our generation's Comedy Central roast or like Friars Club?
Friars Club. Really famous. It was a good story about him interacting with Ryan Gosling where he was like, oh, you know, I'd really love to meet you, Mr. What's his name? God damn it. And the guy was like, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about it? Like, it was like, really, that's what he always kind of does. He is always really intense. God damn it. What's his name? He pays dead now.
He's dead. When did he die?
He was old when I knew him. Like, I have no idea when
that's
that
a good song title. He was old when I knew him.
That's not bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Kind of nice. If we figure out who this guy is, we can write it as a tribute to him. It wasn't, oh, God, good old what's his name? Fucking.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Not Uncle Milty. It's not Uncle. It's not Milton Berle.
No.
It's not Burl Ives, because that's the ugly bug ball.
No.
Come on, autist.
You're failing me right now.
Damn it. Everyone just crashed their car.
I had such an uncanny description of this man.
Oh, it's.
Everyone knows who I'm talking about.
Yeah, fuck. What's his name? It's, oh, so many random names are coming to me. Anthony Blinken, but that's not right. He's the Secretary
Don
of
Rickles!
State. Don Rickles! Ah! There it is. There
Drive
it fucking
your car
is.
Off the fucking road. Well, we might have to turn that volume down a little
Fuck
bit.
Fuck them.
Don Rickles.
That makes sense.
Ah, is everyone there with us? Did everyone find their way through that one with me?
Did the Don Rickles bit land for you?
I forgot why I brought him up.
I saw his fucking stupid face and just couldn't get it.
Yep.
Don Rickles. Don Dickhole.
So yeah, that's what I've got. Don Rickles.
There you go.
You're welcome, everybody. Some people look that up. Some people are like, who the fuck is he talking about? Now you see Don Rickles, go look him up and go, I have no, who the fuck is that?
What are you guys talking about? I thought that was Ed Asner. I thought it was Ernest Borgnine.
He's funny. Look at his stuff. Don't just look at his picture. Go watch him be mean to people.
The thing is, like, the...
Jerry Seinfeld. That's what I think of when I think of Jerry Seinfeld. I think of him as being kind of like a Don Rickles.
I think... Don Rickles was a social assassin. They joke about Larry David being a social assassin on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And in many ways, Larry David is. I would say Larry David is a social assassin.
Larry David
Jerry Seinfeld is
a
pussy.
Larry David is a savant genius, I think, in a lot of ways. Because he, like, a lot of what he does, he just misses that one social aspect. You know what I mean? But his writing and the way he presents it to the world is so fucking good.
It's a great jumping off point for, like, depravity.
He's brilliant. Yeah. Jerry Seinfeld was in the right place at the right time and had just the right amount of humor and came along. Again, a lot of things lined up for Jerry Seinfeld and led him to end that career. You know what I mean? So I don't look at Jerry Seinfeld and go, oh, yeah, that guy's a genius. He's a genius.
Seinfeld was lightning in a bottle, but again, guess who was the driving force behind
Larry
Seinfeld?
David.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why I would
not
say
to erase
David.
Jerry Seinfeld's contributions, because you love the character of Jerry, even though he sucks and he's acted poorly. Jerry Seinfeld is frequently breaking in that show.
Yeah, he's
unable to deliver his lines convincingly.
He's nothing but, like, it's just lazy nonchalance.
But he starts to realize it and steer into it, and that makes it good. Because you have all the other people doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Well, and you see where George Costanza stopped being
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen and started being Larry David. Which is really nice.
Have you seen that clip where Jason Alexander is like, you know, I was doing it Woody Allen for a long time, and then I had a conversation with Larry David, and I was like, Larry, no one would do this. He goes, what do you mean? I did it. And
I said, did this.
Oh, I'm you. And then changed George from there.
Yeah.
George Costanza is an absolutely perfect television creation.
It's so good.
He's my favorite character on television, hands down.
George Costanza, yeah, might be. Might be one of the all-time best. I'm trying to think of anyone better than... I mean, you might give 2 and 3. I mean, Troy and Abed's a fantastic dynamic, but it's a little more one-dimensional. I mean, I don't know. George Costanza is pretty one-dimensional, but, like, purposefully... he just doesn't learn.
And I would
say
he's not
one-dimensional.
His toxic trait is he doesn't learn. And that's what makes him so funny.
Yeah. Well, and we see the episodes where he does so well, like where he gives up sex and becomes brilliant.
Yeah.
And just super, like, everything that he wants and then uses that to get laid and then becomes a moron again.
Loses it all. He's reading Tolstoy and then he gets fucked.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. I love the line. Do you ever get down on your knees and thank God that you have access to me and my depravity? When they're planning the menage a trois.
She was into it.
What? Turns out the roommate is into the menage.
So you're going to do it, right? No!
I'm not an orgy guy. You have to start buying robes and lotions.
I don't know, Jerry. You just try it.
We're just doing Seinfeld for you guys at
this
point.
Did you guys watch Seinfeld? I liked Seinfeld.
I
but
love
that's
Seinfeld.
My point about Jerry Seinfeld specifically was Right place, right time, I think. Did a good job, but wasn't Michael Richards, who was clearly like a consummate professional, who later had some problems.
He went on to become a professional racial tirade guy. Yeah. That's so bad, dude.
I can't.
Have you seen the David Letterman interview where it's supposed to be trotting out the apology, but people are laughing and Seinfeld's like, stop it, it's not funny.
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm trying. So, because again, this is what I'm trying to say about Seinfeld is you're not supposed to take him seriously. You can't spend your entire lifetime not being like being that character and then go and try and do what he did on that show where he was trying to defend Michael Richards and do that thing. And everything. He's like, no, stop it.
Michael Richards was terrified going on television to sweatily apologize for something indefensible.
Yeah.
And every answer he gave, David Letterman's like, how are you doing now, Michael Richards?
Yeah.
He's just like, not doing great, Dave. I think it's the first thing he says, and the audience bursts out laughing.
Yeah, because they just think it's, again, it is wildly entertaining. And how do you react?
Stop it. It's not funny.
Yeah. Be like, well, it's a little funny. And it's funny, not like the problem is that it was for the first time, it was humor at his expense. And he had a really, really hard time dealing with it live on the air in front of everybody. Nah, who am I kidding? They probably recorded the shit out of that episode. But yeah, man, like that was a lot of, I don't know what possessed that man to do that. Why in the world would he think for a second that he could get away with doing that in the world of camera phones? Even without camera phones. Why does that, like, never in my life have I been a white guy on stage going, I'm bombing, time to drop the N-bomb. I was really going to resuscitate this bit a couple of hard R's. Like, what are you fucking thinking?
This is really going to pull me out of the hole, I think.
Oh my God, there's a slightly overweight feminist type in the front. I should attack her verbally. Like, where are you gonna go? Like, what do you think is gonna be the outcome? Don't fucking so dumb.
And that's one of the things that bothers me about Jerry Seinfeld is he's like, I won't go to college campuses to do comedy because they're too PC and woke. Well, it's like, motherfucker, there's a difference between your act and Chris Rock's act. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You are getting invited to colleges while Chris Rock is still doing stadiums.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And your shit isn't exactly the like groundbreaking offensive stuff. That's not, you're getting invited to college campuses, you boob.
Yeah, dude, go do another Netflix special and like have that be your thing then. You know?
The deal? They're too PC.
And again, you can do the small, like look what Dave Chappelle did. Everyone's mad at Dave Chappelle. And he is not backing the fuck down.
Again or still?
Always. He's always, dude, he's really riding it hard now. Like, it's become a thing where he's just like, well, time to piss him off because it's generating cash for him, I think. But to the Seinfeld thing and the college campus, like, how does he not, of all people, know that, like, you are a bad guy when you attack the audience, but when the audience attacks you and you defend yourself, then that's how you make good comedy. Like, that's how you take care of hecklers. The heckler comes to you first. And then you address the heckler. And then the heckler says something stupid. And then you destroy the heckler. And now the audience loves you. And then you move on with your set. And they know better than to fuck with you. And you've been doing this your whole fucking life. So I've got a feeling like if you tried, you could probably take a heckler down. You're Jerry fucking Seinfeld. You got enough shit where you could probably just knock that shit out and move on. But again, you're worried about saying one thing that's dumb and having the entire audience turn on you at once.
I think what he's, and to that end, I think what he's most afraid of is being canceled.
Cool, you got paid.
Is in that moment, the audience turns on him and someone is recording Jerry Seinfeld's N-word moment.
Jerry Seinfeld, who has so much money that he bought Manhattan property. He bought an entire building and gutted it and turned it into a working elevator for all of his cars. In Manhattan where housing is pretty tough to fucking get. He bought an entire building for his cars. I'm not too worried about the guy getting canceled. I wouldn't understand why he is. He's the guy who in the fucking 90s started dating the 17-year-old officially, you know?
Was she 17 or 19?
17.
She was 17 for sure?
17.
Yikes.
And that was when he like came out and stated it. Like, you know what I mean? So that shit was probably going on before then.
That's true. We kind of gave him a pass for that one.
That's always
same with Rob Lowe.
That's always how I feel when everyone says like, well, this is what you knew about. And I go, okay, that's what we knew about. It's the same thing that's all going on with fucking Leonardo DiCaprio now. He just broke up with his girlfriend again, right? Have you ever seen this, the DiCaprio scale? It's fucking incredible. He's never in his life dated a woman over 25. Ever.
That's wild.
They're all very blonde for the most part. They're all incredibly beautiful. But there's a scale where it goes Leonardo DiCaprio's age, and then it shows the age of his girlfriends, and they're all 25, 19, 25, broken up, 19, 25, broken up, 19, 25. Like, consistently, they're all either late teens or early 20s. He dates them. Not a fucking one of them has made it past that age.
It's like the Hunger Games.
And everyone was joking because this chick is now that age. And then news comes out, they fucking broke up.
She aged out. What are you going to do?
And now he's single again. And now Leo's going to date some other young 20-something, I bet. Yep. You know? And everyone's like, well, I wonder why he never dated that nice girl from the Titanic. They seemed like they were so happy at the award shows when they would talk to one another. Their bond was so strong. I go, no, she's too old.
Sorry, Leo doesn't do fatties.
She's too old. That's just so, but seriously, like if you want to laugh about it, go look up the age of Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriends. It's it's funny. And all of them, so pretty. One time, Kelly Rohrbach, the chick from the Baywatch movie, don't know her from anything else, model.
Which one was she?
She was the blonde one.
Oh, okay. That the overtly sexual one who could also take charge in dangerous situations.
Uh-huh. The one that was lusted after by the nerd.
Right. Who got his penis stuck in the slats of
between
a deck
two
chair.
Slats. Listen, if you want a great time for a movie that you don't have to think about even for a second, the new Baywatch. I mean, it is bad, but it's The Rock and Zac Efron and a bunch of one of the Daddario girl, whatever her name is.
Alexandria.
It's Alexandria. Yeah, Daddario. And like I said, this Miss Rohrbach and a couple other pretty gals. And this one comedian guy. Also, what's his name shows up in it? Totally blew off the lid on the Cosby thing.
Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal Buress is in it. Yep. And it's a terrible movie, but I love it. I love that movie for how awful it is. Well, put that on while you're going through the delusional drug trips. That one's a good one to look up every now and then. You see The Rock and he's doing something zany. Look at those muscles. He can't keep that figure forever.
He's working at the Sprint store and he's wearing flip-flops.
He sure is.
Or he took the flip-flops off and he wore clodhoppers.
Yes. And then David Hasselhoff comes in. And I don't want to spoil anything, but obviously Baywatch has to have a Hasselhoff show.
Yeah.
So be ready for that.
Did good old what's-her-name Pam Anderson show up in that movie? I don't remember.
Right at the end. She's not looking great.
Oh, you're right. She does come in right at the end.
Right at the end, she
pops
in.
Sequel bait.
Yep, sequel bait, which they will never make.
For the movie, I'm really glad. I love how Hollywood always has high hopes like this is going to be our next big hit. The Rock, the Dwayne The Rock Johnson-led lifeguard film.
Baywatch 1s, 2, and 3.
Baywatch. We'll just keep adding larger-breasted babes to every subsequent film. And in the fifth one, they have to fight a large-breasted babe.
Oh, my goodness. Except they do that in the first one, I think, don't they? Isn't the villain a very attractive woman?
She's a very attractive woman.
Yeah.
I'm talking about they just fight a giant pair of, like, kaiju breasts.
Guess where they start? That's right. Japan. Coming out of the water.
Sorry.
Like, they beat up Godzilla first. And then Rodan. And then Mechagodzilla. And then Mothra.
And then King Ghidorah motorboated him with all three heads.
Yeah. But then also subdues. And then they got to bring in The Rock, Zac Efron, and I don't know, some other asshole.
Yeah, don't bring back the weird dude. He's bad in everything he's in. His name is John Bass, and he's bad in everything he's in.
He's always the same weird, awkward guy in everything. He's typecast, which I feel bad for, but that's also because that's all it can do, I assume.
It's his fault for being bad and boring.
What else was he in? He was in
That Miracle Worker
Miracle
show
Worker
we watched.
Show, yeah.
He was fine for that character because that character was supposed to be an uninteresting schmuck.
Who's just the dumbest person you've ever met, yeah.
Correct. He's paced. He's plop. Mm-hmm. He's the embodiment of Anne on Arrested Development.
Well, you're going to keep seeing him in everything because he's worked alongside Steve Buscemi and The Rock and Zac Efron now.
He's going to do like a dumb Vampire Hunter movie where like, you know.
I'm surprised he's not Guillermo in What We Do from the Shadows.
I'm really happy he's
not. I'm really happy he's not, but I'm surprised.
Have you been keeping up with that?
I've been keeping up with it a little bit. I haven't seen the latest stuff. That's a great show, guys. If you like The Office format and you like comedy, but you're like, you know what my comedy could have a little bit more of? Vampires, right? then What We Do in the Shadows, that's for you. Got to check that one out.
Also, what if you want a comedy with more bite?
Also, what's his name in it is fantastic. Your favorite guy.
Matt Berry.
Matt Berry.
The guy I want to be. I want to steal his face and his life.
Wonderful chaps. Yeah.
I'm sit there naked. The steam subsides, and I realize I'm surrounded by chaps, but I enjoy it.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
He's so good.
Yeah, that's a good
the
one,
the biggest bastard in New York City.
Where are we doing on time?
I think we're done.
Yeah. We were skidding along there for a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Just the way our audience expects.
Slop in the trough.
I'd like to think everybody got to their destinations, you know, whether it was having to go to the bank and back or picking up Gam Gam. Maybe you needed some background for the home.
Maybe it was some lonely diarrhea and you needed to pass the time.
Uh-huh. And you needed something while you shit. It was aggressive, really bad stuff, you know.
We were there for you.
Anyways.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I don't think so. Not this week.
Okay, well, Rory has nothing to plug, and I, as usual, have nothing to plug because there's nothing worth plugging. So until next time, thank you, go fuck yourselves, and goodbye.